So my stomach says go, and my mind says you still have a job to do today. So here we go. And I'll try to keep it short because I know you're thinking meatballs too, right? You are? I thought you were thinking sermon. Well, it's great to have you here. The last few weeks, we've talked about the importance of us growing in family, growing in communities of grace, and how we might do that. In the readings today, we hear from the Apostle Paul how when he's talking about the community and the specific rules that you are to do and to learn about being godly in your life. In the second reading, the reading from the gospel lesson today, we hear Jesus who went into the desert to figure out what's going on in his life. He comes out, and what's the first thing that he does? Judy? I picked on her. She's a teacher. He taught. First thing he did was to start teaching because he knew the importance of people growing in their faith and growing in the ways of grace. I want to share a few things with you today, but the importance of us putting effort into growing in our faith, doing things, working at it, not just assuming you come because you come to hear the pastor's sermon, everything's going to be fine because we have all the wisdom in the world, right? I was waiting for an amen. I didn't get it. No. It's about us growing together. In the last few weeks, we went over some things. I want to review with you today and then go into what it means for us in terms of growing in our faith. In our work this last 3 weeks, we've talked about what it means for us to grow as family. Recapturing our family. First thing we talked about was character. What we are about as Christian people is growing in our character. And what Dr. Cloud, the person we've been talking about, talks about is when we raise our children, our task is to help them grow in their character. Not just integrity, but character being the sum of our abilities to deal with life as it comes, but as God intended us to, as God chose us to. So how do we deal with life in the way God wants us to deal with it? That is our character. The first thing that we talked about in terms of the character was grace. You cannot be a Christian in our culture without knowing grace. We understand in our life, one of the tools of growing in our character is the unconditional love of God that we accept and the unconditional love of each other. That's the first component, the first piece of us growing in our character as individuals, growing in our character as families, and growing in our character as a family of God, as disciples of Jesus Christ. But we can't just leave it there. It's not just unconditional love. You got to live then too, you know. Second slide. Truth. We talked about the components of character being grace, that unconditional love, but grace in real life. The truth about life, the way we live, the way we are, and the way our world is. The first piece of that we talked about was this. Accepting ourselves for who we are and accepting others for who they are. That has to do with those around us in our world. But also, do you remember we talked about family together? Accepting each other in our family as who they are. Accepting our friends as who they are. Not perfect, but not getting into the game. You know, someday I'm going to be able to change that. You know that issue? Not that we shouldn't work together and we don't change, but we need to accept the gift God has given us in each other. The second piece of that is the truth about our lives is we acknowledge our brokenness and sin. There is nobody here that does not sin, that is not broken, does not have issues in their life. And we as parents, a word we ought to say often, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. But that's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? That's hard to do. But we need to acknowledge that brokenness and that sin in our life, and we say I'm sorry. We also know our children are not perfect, except for some of us, if you know what. We have those times, don't we? But not to be freaked out by that. They've got problems. They've got issues. We all do. But to accept that and accept that sometimes life is difficult and life is broken. And the third piece of that is live as those who are free. No matter what your mistakes, no matter what your brokenness, no matter what your sin, no matter what the issues in your life, we can live as those who are redeemed and free as we work on that. Not that everything will be perfect, but the truth is we can be redeemed and freed in all of that. So the unconditional love of God, we're sinful people and we are broken together, but we are redeemed in God's grace. And to live that truth, apply that grace to that truth in our life. In our story together, we've been talking about a soccer team, the Fuji soccer team. a group of refugee young men who live in Clarkston, Georgia, under the leadership of Coach Luma Mufla, the woman on the left in the back. We've talked about them and talked about grace and truth in their story. When Coach Luma started the team, anybody who wanted to be on this team could show up and play. Didn't matter where you were from, what language you spoke, how much money you had, you all were welcome to come and play. And she started three soccer teams, a 13, a 15, a 17-year-old, working with the YMCA down there. However, she was strict. Do you remember the rule about the hair? Your hair, she told these young men, your hair must be shorter than the coach's. You see her hair? She's got less than me, and that's astounding. And the best player on her 15-year-old team, she would not let him play because he would not get his hair cut. Remember last week, the story. The 15-year-old team couldn't make practice regularly. They were skipping things they should have done. After the first game, she canceled the season. Can you imagine that? If you don't live by the truth here, you're welcome to be part of it, but if you don't work the program, we can't do it anymore. She canceled the season. But then one of the leaders of her team came to her and said, what if I get some other guys together and we do tryouts again? Can we do it then? She said, you play by the rules. You do the program. We'll try it. But she let them back in. And they started another season. Grace, you're accepted. But truth, you got to live this way in it. And how we too are the same. Grace, you're accepted. But we need structure and obedience and rules in how we do that. And how important that is. But finally, the most important component we've talked about in our series is this. We talked about recapturing family. The most important component is time. Time. You can say grace, that's true. You can say we need to live by truth, that's true. But if you don't put yourself and your time in that, if you don't invest your time in that, what are you going to be? I'm honest, in growing in our faith, this pastor sermon will not do it for you. It's true. Just worship won't do it anymore. We need to invest ourselves and our time. And I think the real question is, oh, it's gone. It was there a moment ago. The real question is, what kind of tomato do you want to be? Where's my gardeners? Where's Bob? You know, what kind of tomato? There's one kind that's called determinants. They grow only so much fruit and they stop. Is that what you want to be? Or there are indeterminates. They continue to grow. They continue to grow fruit as long as you fertilize and water them till their life is over and they're gone. Do you want to be a determinant or indeterminate? Do you want to continue to grow in your faith or not? And we're here to say as church and as people and as families together, it's important we continue to grow and learn as Christ teaches us and as we learn from each other as family. I did hear that there's a football game today. Is that Green Bay and who else? No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry? Almost. When I was in junior high, I did play football. I know that's kind of hard to believe. And we had a wonderful coach, Roger Mickle was his name. And Roger, Mr. Mickle was mean. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you guys who played in my generation, I mean, he stood 5'4", but he had the voice of a 6'8 guy, you know? I mean, he was in your face all the time. And for a while after I graduated, I really didn't care for Mr. Mickle, but I looked back and realized he really did care for us. And one of the things he told us, and we didn't quite get it, especially in junior high or even high school, he said, if you guys want to play football, you cannot stand still in your skills. Either you're going forward and improving, or you're retreating and you're getting worse. Now, that's a little extreme, and I'm not going to ask anybody to run wind sprints like we did. But the truth is the same. Either I think we are improving, or at the best, we're staying the same. And what does it mean for us to continue to improve? We know about it, and we do it in all of the rest of our life. You know, the Indianapolis quarterback today, Peyton Manning, have you heard of him? There's a lot of press about him being one of the smartest quarterbacks that ever played the game. You know, I mean, really smart. I mean, you read about it in the Herald this week, and I'm sure the Trib and everybody else is writing about how smart he is. But I'm not so sure he's so smart. You know why? Last week at the game, When I saw the playoff, or the championship last game for the division, you know, he went to the sidelines and he's studying what to do next. Did you see that? He was looking at the pictures of what they should do. I thought he was the best. He doesn't need to study anymore, does he? He does. On site, as it's happening. He knows that. Do we as Christians know that? To keep studying, to keep growing in our faith. This last summer, I went to a national gathering of Methodist leaders, and we had a pastor from Atlanta, Georgia, come and talk to us pastors. A really young guy, you know, barely in his 30s. Done a wonderful job starting a church. And he asked us, he said, how much are you working on learning how to preach? And some of us have been doing it 30 years. Not quite that long for me. Are you keeping working at growing in that? If you're not, why not? Everybody else does it. And he said he had a friend that worked in a soft drink company in Atlanta, Georgia. And he says every day, he believes in what he does. Every day he goes in and works at the job he does. He works hard at it. He puts all kinds of time into it. And he says, think about what he does for a living. He sells sugar water. He's working his tail off to sell sugar water. You're sharing the word of God. How much are you working at it? And so us 30-year-old preachers went, oh, we need to continue to work at it. In our lives, all of our lives. There's a wonderful African story about folktale, about the eagle and the chicken. You know this one? The story goes, an eagle egg happened to land in a chicken's nest. And they hatched and they grew, and the eagle grew and he thought he was a chicken. And so, you know, he's down in the barnyard scratching for worms and bugs and all that kind of stuff. And one day another eagle was flying overhead and saw him. And the other eagle came down and said, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm eating here. I'm a chicken. No, you're not. You're an eagle. He says, I'm a chicken. Yeah, I was born a chicken. I was raised a chicken. I'm a chicken. And the eagle said, well, spread your wings out. And suddenly he spread his wings and he saw. He was bigger than what the other chickens were. And suddenly he flapped and he flew. Now, he could have survived as a chicken for the rest of his life, right? And I think we can survive as those who just accept the faith we have. It's a gift we've been given. And just muscle it through for the rest of our life. We can spread our wings and continue to learn to grow in the ways of love. In the ways of God's grace. In the ways of helping our families love each other and grow together. And grow in the ways of mission, ministry, and justice into the world. So do you want to be a chicken or you want to be an eagle? Indeterminate or determinate? In 1738, a long time ago, 10 people came to talk to John Wesley, the founder of our church. And they came to him, because Wesley had started a movement, and they came to him and they said, we want to learn to grow more in our faith. And so Wesley met with them, and he says, if you want to grow in your faith, here's some things you probably ought to do. And he listed a lot of things, but let me share some of those with you today. First, he said, if you want to grow, you ought to meet together on a regular basis. Have regular meetings. Support each other. Secondly, you ought to ask each other, how is it with your soul? Or, how you doing? How's your week been? Or, how's your day been? Third, we need to confess to each other and say, we're sorry sometimes. Fourth, we need to give to those in need. Fifth, he said, don't smoke unless directed by a doctor. I don't quite understand that. Times are different. Six, we ought to fast on Fridays. Seventh, don't criticize others behind their back. Do you hear that one? That one doesn't go away. And eighth, he said, keep the ordinances of God. Work the program of church. Worship, pray, study, and do communion together. And when they followed Wesley's rules, they grew in their love for each other. They started a new church. And they became a witness in England, in the United States, and I would say in all the world, because they worked the program. At our Redeemers, we want to continue to help each other grow in faith and discipleship. We want to help each other not just scratch out a faith, but soar in the ways of Jesus Christ. In the last 2 months, it's been my privilege to meet with Reverend Elizabeth, and we, as staff parish and the church leadership, are really excited to have her on staff. We're looking forward to her helping us learn to grow in our faith through our work in Christian, through her work in Christian education and in small adult groups. Now, please, I want to be careful in introducing her. The second church I was at, when my first Sunday at that church, the lay leader got up to introduce me. And after this astounding introduction, I felt like I was supposed to triple the church membership, make sure all their children didn't have any problems, fix the church roof, walk on water, and fix coffee on Sunday morning the first week. Elizabeth is here to help us to be deliberate, intentional, and strong about working on growing in Christian education. As she works with our education teams here at our Sunday school program, and also with our adult small groups. So I would like to have her share just a few words with us about her beginning with us this day.
All these things. Well, thank you for that introduction and for your warm welcome. I'm not quite as seasoned a preacher as you are. I need my notes a little bit. I'm not going to preach another sermon, though. Don't worry. But I do want to tell you I'm very excited to come and be among you. And I want to tell you why. It was a long process. We started interviewing in October. And not only were you interviewing me, but I was interviewing you. And I accept it because I'm excited to be here. It's typical in the church, or it's my experience in the church, that some or most people brought up in the church go through confirmation, learn the foundation of their faith, and that's kind of a moment of graduation. That's when you graduate and you move on. You've actually decided to join the church of your own volition, but you get busy with high school, then college, a career, marriage, children, and sometimes we never really see you after confirmation. Does this sound familiar? So, I love the sermon that Pastor Bill gave us today of a new challenge of going deeper in our walk and in our Christian education. For many of us, Sunday school is like compulsories. You know, the Olympics is coming up. Do you remember compulsories in figure skating? They don't have it anymore. They took it away, and there's a lot of hubbub about whether they should have or shouldn't because some of the skaters aren't as graceful. But the compulsories used to be the part of figure skating where a skater had to trace eights and certain things in the ice as she skated or he skated, and they were actually awarded points. And it was the first part of the competition. And if you didn't make certain points, you couldn't go on to the second part. You didn't qualify. And the second part is the free skate. It's the fun, where you soar, where you take the foundations of what you've learned and you add your jumps, your creative dance, everything you're going to see in the Olympics this year. Well, like I said, the compulsories kind of are what we think of in Sunday school. It's the place where we learn the basics. We learn the stories. We get grounded and centered and balanced in our faith. But sometimes that's where it ends. And we don't soar. We don't move in the freedom of what we've learned. And so part of what I'm excited, at least how I'm reading you, is that you've decided to hire somebody, to invest in a Christian educator. I mean, this isn't an economy where in most churches they're laying off their Christian ed person, or they're cutting back on the Christian ed staff person. And instead, you've decided to invest in that. And just as the scripture was saying and kind of you alluded to with your athleticism and football, you know, you can exercise, you can work out for a marathon, you can play an instrument, learn a second language, and as long as you practice it, you're proficient. But you know when you stop, that's why we always have those New Year's resolutions, your muscles get flabby, and you don't have the proficiency you once had in that language or that instrument. And I want to say it's the same with Christian ed. You can digress. You can decline in your faith understanding the less you participate in study and understanding the stories and in what we call theology, making meaning of those stories and applying them to your own life. But just like when you get back on the bike, or you re-enter an exercise program, or engage lessons again, I think your faith has, muscles have memory. They come back. Your faith has memory. And you can re-engage, and you can get back on, and you can start your own spiritual development, your own faith development. Today, in the world, they're calling it, in some realms of theology, spiritual capital, developing your own spiritual capital. You've heard of social capital, those kinds of things. You invest your time to visiting stories, reading theology, develop your own spiritual capital. And you take it then from this place to your homes, to your workplace, to your place of vocation. I know some of you, and when I taught at the college, I taught about Enron. Ken Lay was a son of a Baptist preacher, went to church every Sunday, was in worship. What happened? Did he digress in his spiritual development and investing in his own spiritual capital? Just because he worshiped didn't always mean he had proficiency in his faith development. And so I challenge you, and I'm excited, actually, for what you've chosen, to invest in a Christian educator and to hire me and to develop for your children the compulsories of their Christian faith, and for yourself, I hope, the next step to go further, to soar, to take your faith out into the world, to your vocation, maybe not necessarily to evangelize, but to say, well, in this meeting, I believe, and it's grounded in the faith you established here, the hymn said, right? And then you take it to soar. That's what we're talking about, being able to take the rudimentary of what you learn here out into the world. And why? Why is it important? For the transformation of the world. That's how God uses us. That's how God works through us to redeem the world. By us doing the Christian ed, the spiritual formation, the discipleship, give it whatever title you want. And that's how God redeems the world, through us. So I'm really excited to be here. I'm excited to see what you want to do, what part of Christian education you want to be a part of, studies you want to do. Any good teacher knows the best way to start again is to teach, to get back on the... You can learn by teaching, because you learn the lesson, and you're like, oh, wow, I forgot that from my own Sunday school days. So I know I'm going to meet with Lisa this week. I'm going to meet with the CE committee in a few weeks. But I want to hear from all of you, too. We're in this together. What do you want to study? What groups do you want to engage in or start? Because I'm excited. This work of discipleship is something we do together. And like I said, it's for the transformation of the world. Amen. Amen.
As we prepare ourselves this day to receive this gift of communion, let's each bow for a moment of silent prayer and lift up our confession to God. Let us pray.